In what I thought to be a philosophical but also comedic movie, the best exotic Marigold Hotel, the dilapidated hotel is owned and operated by an extremely optimistic and energetic man, Sunny Kapoor. His confidence is shown at least three times in the movie when he states, "Everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, then it's not yet the end." His expectancy of eventual success is one of the drivers of that movie. An expectancy of eventual reward is one of the drivers of today's scripture story. The background, the ancient background to today's lesson starts thousands of years earlier when Moses delivered the Torah, God's law, to the people of Israel. The book of Leviticus in the Torah requires that after the 33 days of a mother's purification are completed, she shall make a burnt offering in the temple. If the mother is wealthy, her offering should be a sheep. But if she cannot afford one, then the mother shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons for her offering. In addition, the Torah requires that all firstborn shall be consecrated to God, and this is required in the book of Exodus. So let's now move roughly 600 years to the beginning of the age of the prophets. Many foretold of a Messiah, a person who would come to rescue Israel. One of the prophets of many, Jeremiah, stated, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king, and shall execute justice in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety." People were relying on the comfort promised by the prophets. And so we now come to today's scripture story, which takes place 300 to 400 years after the last of the prophets. We meet a man named Simeon. He is a devout man, a holy man, a righteous man, a man of prayer, and a man full of God's Holy Spirit. He was expecting the nation's consolation. Simeon knew of Israel's history of being occupied over thousands of years from time to time by the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, and now during his lifetime, the Romans. Simeon's desire was to see the Messiah. A man of God, he had studied carefully the scriptures. And Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit was guiding him so that he would see the Messiah before he died. So on that certain day, he was led to the temple. He went there, and once there, looked around, anxiously anticipating to be directed by God's Holy Spirit to see the Messiah. Now, the temple area is huge. It's a huge area. I had the privilege of being there 7 years ago. If there's a large crowd, it would be extremely difficult to find another person you're trying to meet. So on that particular day, we learned that Mary and Joseph went to the temple in Jerusalem to fulfill the law, to fulfill the Torah, for Mary's purification, and for Joseph and Mary to consecrate their firstborn son, Jesus. Now, based upon the time for Mary's purification, the infant Jesus was most likely just 5 weeks old. I'm asking you to picture Joseph and Mary as they walked into the temple, beholding this huge temple, and remember that they lived in a small village in Galilee. A holy meeting was about to take place between the father and the mother of a brand new newborn, and a man who realized that he was close to death, but who desired to see his nation's Messiah. The Holy Spirit then moves Simeon to approach Joseph and Mary. When he sees them, he immediately knows they're poor. And why? Because they have two doves. When he comes up to them, I can visualize him looking intently at the child. I can see a little alarm in Joseph and Mary's faces as this man approaches, and they wonder about his intention. Simeon asks if he could hold the infant. Mary looks into his eyes and then tentatively offers her newborn to him. Then Simeon cradles the infant. Then, to the surprise of Joseph and Mary, he declares that God could now dismiss him, could release him from his earthly life, for now he has found peace. He tells them that the reason for his peace is because he now sees in this month-old baby God's salvation for all of us. Simeon proclaims that this child will be the glory of the people of his nation, Israel, and would be a light of revelation to everyone else, the Gentiles. Joseph and Mary must have been startled and left speechless at Simeon's announcement. And then Simeon blesses the infant and Joseph and Mary. After his blessing, he turns to Mary and tells her that this child is destined for both the fall and the rise of many in Israel, that Jesus will be opposed, misunderstood, and contradicted. But in doing so, the inner thoughts of many individuals will be revealed. Their honesty will be shown. I picture Simeon looking sorrowfully into Mary's eyes as he tells her that a sword will pierce her own soul. I can't imagine the look on Mary and Joseph's faces when he tells her this. At this time, a woman named Anna is also in the temple. A prophetess, she was always there praying and fasting. Now, she was a widow for 84 years. And if we can agree that she married at age 14 or 15, which is a common age for marriage at that time, she was probably 98 or 99 years of age. She sees Simeon with Joseph and Mary holding an infant. She hears Simeon making announcements and then blessing Joseph and Mary and the baby. As Anna approaches them, she praises God and tells everyone around that this child is going to free, to redeem Jerusalem. So what we have is 4,000 to 3,000 years ago, Moses gave the Torah, the law, to the Israelites. 3,000 to 2,500 years ago, the prophets foretold of a Messiah. And then, as we learn in today's scripture, 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon and Anna to approach Joseph and Mary in the temple and to hold and touch their infant. What happened on that day in the temple was sacred. Because of their deep connection with the divine, Simeon and Anna realized God's salvation was at hand, and they were finally at peace. Through the story, we realize that when Simeon cradled the baby, Mary, his mother, was put at ease. Marie de Hennezel states, there are three types of touching. Touching with desire, touching with demand, and, as she says, the most rare option, touching with devotion. She states that touching with devotion is an ardent recognition of the value of people. It's not forceful or uncomfortable. Rather, it's respectful and produces ease. I think it was this devotional touching that made Joseph and Mary so comfortable with Simeon. Because of his devotion, this interaction between Simeon and the infant was holy. It was sacramental. What I also find in this story, this incredible story, is the circle of life. For as this newborn baby was entering into his new life in the world, Simeon and Anna were ready to pass from this life. In this story, I find so much more than just history. Parents who are bringing a newborn into God's house to consecrate him. This baby is a new beginning. This baby is new life. Caleb Wild, the funeral director who most often deals with death, has these thoughts about life. Life wants to break through. It wants to shine. It finds ways in the deepest, darkest part of the ocean. It breaks through concrete and asphalt. Life is resilient and brave, and it doesn't believe in can't or won't or the word no. Life says yes. And when we find that yes, we can help it breathe and swaddle it in our arms. Jesus is the epitome of a radiant, shining light. He is the light of God, and He longs to break through into our souls. During His life, He was never limited by can't or won't or the word no. Jesus, God's love incarnate, was ablaze with love to redeem our world. Because Simeon and Anna longed for the Messiah, and because they yearned for God's redemption, God answered their prayers when the Holy Spirit led them to Jesus, the baby. They entered into God's temple because of their love and their openness to the Holy Spirit. So what can we learn? Isn't this the kind of love and openness that prompted all of the saints throughout history? The vision of God held by the saints is of a God too big for us to grasp. And Mary and Joseph, just like the other saints of history, were realizing God's immense power, that God is greater than they could possibly have had envisioned. Peter Christologus, who died in the year 450, at the young age of 44, said this: "How could our narrow human vision apprehend God, whom the whole world cannot contain?" He answered that it has to do with love. He states, "Love inflames desire. It is intolerable for love not to see the object of his longing. That is why whatever reward they merited was nothing to the saints if they could not see God. A love that desires to see God may not have reasonableness on its side, but it is the evidence of filial love. It gave Moses the temerity to say, 'If I have found favor in your eyes, show me your face.' It inspired the psalmist to make the same prayer, 'Show me your face, O Lord.'" Most people in our contemporary world have the same prayers: Peter, Christologist, Moses, the psalmist, Simeon, and Anna. "Show me your face, O Lord." But unfortunately, there are some who have no desire to see God's face at all, and yet others who are afraid to see God's face. When Simeon blessed Mary, he told her that Jesus was destined for both the fall and the rise of many in Israel, that Jesus will be opposed, misunderstood, and contradicted. But in doing so, the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. Their honesty will be shown. That's still happening today. The inner thoughts and the honesty of individuals are revealed when Jesus is opposed, when he's contradicted, when he's misunderstood. Simeon's prophecy have proved to be true to this very day. And it becomes for us, you and me, to assess our own inner thoughts about our honesty, about who Jesus is for us. Through him, like Simeon, do we find inner peace? Or do we somehow, even indirectly, oppose and contradict him? Do we really try to understand the person of Jesus? What I find interesting in this story, the individuals, Mary, Joseph, the infants, Simeon, Anna, and all those who listened to them in the temple, is devotion and a willingness to be open to God and to light and to be open to love. All bound up in this circle of life, the newness and the passing on, not just bodily life, but also in our own spiritual life. It is in this spiritual life that we find our own life, and like Simeon and Anna, then we find peace. Once he saw the Messiah, Simeon was in peace. Well, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? This story is only in chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel, and Luke has 22 more chapters to tell us more about Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection. We are told that Jesus in the years to come would grow strong in body and be filled with God's wisdom and God's grace. If Jesus were born this year in 2020, that means we would next learn about Jesus was doing in the year 2033. That's 12 years from now. That's when we find Jesus at age 12 in the temple, sitting among teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. The very next story in Luke's gospel is when Jesus goes to see John the Baptist, is baptized by him, and starts his ministry. Jesus at that time, according to Luke, was about 30 years old. So if Jesus were born this year, he would begin his ministry at age 30 in the year 2050. So what does this mean? God the Father is in no hurry. God the Father is patient, for he wants Jesus to experience life, to experience love of family, love of other people, suffering, happiness, disappointment, successes. He wants Jesus to interact with the religious and the irreligious and the super religious, to enjoy food and wine and endure fasting, to realize hurt and frustration, and to see what corrupted power can do to a people, to mix with the blind and the lame, to witness birth and death, and to experience what it means to work and to learn how to pray. In short, to really know what it means to be human. And because of this, Jesus is one of us, so we can rely on him. And because he is also divine, we can rely on him. This is the mystery of Christ. This is the mystery of the man of peace who offers us his peace if we, like Simeon, seek it. This is why during this Christmas season, our prayer is peace to all of goodwill. Peace be to you. Amen.